How many of you have read James recently or can remember reading James? James is a very interesting piece of scripture, sometimes extremely direct. One of the things in James is essentially it says, watch your mouth, young man. Words get in the way. Words can be devilish. So when the lectionary provided me with James this morning to look at on Father's Day, I started to think about how James would have been writing to his own church and how it speaks to us in the broadest possible context of Scripture. There are some times that we get caught up in the little themes that are present in very few places, and other times we want to get caught up in the big themes. I'm afraid if we don't talk enough about the big themes in Scripture, we start to think the little themes are the big themes. One of the big themes in Scripture is the word fellowship, community, communion. And it's part of the reason why we try to gather in small groups. How many people did Jesus gather together in order to change the world? 12. 12 people, 3 years, tag, you're it. 2,000 years later, look what happened. Wow. Of course, it's not been a straight line trajectory of success. We've had good days and bad days in the church, good years, maybe even good centuries, and bad years and bad centuries. Today, what would you say is the perception of the church from folks outside the church? Fabulous, can't wait to get there. Snicker, snicker, snicker. Hypocrisy, that's on my list of the things that I put down too. Excuse me? A lot of ritual. Divisiveness. Old-fashioned. Judgmental. I think she got me. I put down on my list. Sorry, I'm allowed to be playful too. I put down hypocritical because that's one of the contexts that you hear from the folks who have either left the church or never participated in church, because we say some things to be certain ways, and then it looks like we don't act that way. And the fact is, it's true. The reason we come to church is because we need forgiveness. I can't seem to do it right. That's the best part about Paul. Paul in Romans 7 says something like, I know what's right and I can't do it. I know what's wrong. I seem to end up doing that. And there are days when inside the church, we followers of Christ go, I know the right direction, but I'm telling you, when they cut me off, I had this great desire to drive ahead of them. Judgmental, gossipy, holier than thou, do it to make me feel better. They come to church just so they feel better about themselves. I can assure you that those are not the goals that Jesus had when Jesus established the church. And Paul worked really hard to work around some of those things. But you should also know these have been problems in the church for 2,000 years. There's a reason James said, your mouth gets you in trouble. The mission and the purpose of the local church, I believe, includes things like heal folks who are broken, teach, transform lives, care for the poor, reach out to those who are lost and alone, the outsiders, retell the gospel story, share the good news of God's love, fight for the powerless, connect to God and to each other in authentic relationships with accountability, telling the truth to each other in love. Experience the gospel. And then be the gospel in the world. Show that God loves us by loving others. Show that God loves us who are unworthy by loving others who may also be unworthy. One of the goals of the church is to create true community. And sometimes we are our own worst enemy. Have you been in a small group that you thought, oh my gosh, these folks just became some of my closest friends in all the world. I'm going to think about them the rest of my life. Raise your hand so I can see if I'm talking to the... So I started to think about those kind of relationships. I can stand up here all I want and say, you should be in a small group and it should be authentic community. I can get together all kinds of programs and a curriculum from the church and say, here's how we do it. But it doesn't happen because you said, all right, we're going to put our mind to it, we're going to study it, and we're going to make it happen. In reality, authentic relationship often happens when you're in the midst of trouble. And you explore that place with vulnerability and authenticity. So if we come to church every Sunday morning, put on our Sunday best, put on our Sunday smiles, and we pretend like nothing is ever wrong in our lives, then we will never create authentic, true community in church. Now, before you let that fall off, let me say, I don't think it's the goal of corporate worship for all of us to share all of our headaches. We'd never go home. Right? Okay. But it is me circling back to saying, if it's at all possible in your life, join a group of small group of folks that can journey with you in life in a way that is authentic, that allows you to experience true connection to others. Maybe you find that there's some common purpose or mission. Maybe it's just you. Both went through the same hurricane or the same tornado, and all of a sudden you're good neighbors. And because they offer you a cup of coffee on a day when you couldn't find caffeine to save your life, you feel like that changed your life forever. But sometimes we forget that the goal of these groups that we gather is to be about true community. And we let ourselves get a little carried away, and we let some toxic pieces of who we are or some boundaries get blown out of the water because we're trying to manufacture community. So I'm here to tell you today, I don't care if you manufacture a community. I care that you are in connection with people who care about you, that you see God in, and that you experience love together. They could be the most broken people you know. Sometimes broken folks handle vulnerability and authenticity better than the rest of us. What we're finding out in the church truly is that real small group, real community in small groups is a whole lot more organic than it is fill out this form and we'll put you together with the right people. Sometimes this happens very quickly. Did any of you ever go to summer camp? Man, by the third or fourth day, you feel like you've got friends for life. We're never going to leave each other. I'm going to write every week. Was that just my experience? Right? Or you've been on a mission trip, and the work you do together is transformative, and all of a sudden you see each other differently, and you love each other differently. Sometimes it takes much longer than that. I feel very close to the folks I taught Disciple 2 class in Palm Coast to. Clergy are not supposed to teach Disciple Bible study. So it was we desperately need you to do this. So I did it. But by the time we were done, we felt really close to each other. Deeper relationships. I think one of the, if I could give you a little hint, share prayer concerns. In any group you're at, ask, is there anything I can pray for you about? Because it opens an opportunity. A lot of us will expose ourselves a little more clearly when we know it's going to be taken to God as opposed to the Daytona Beach News Journal. Summer camp, leadership retreats, disciple class. There are places around here that you can see it. Strange as it may seem, I'm not sure that the truest place of authentic community at Coronado Community United Methodist Church isn't at the hospitality house. And if you know what I mean, you know why I say that. Ocean View, our Ocean View crew is very tight. The boutique, different shifts have this tight. I remember feeling unbelievably connected to a group of folks who just went one day. We got together on one day, the day after the hurricane, the tornado hit St. Cloud and Kissimmee in the, 2004, 1998, somewhere in that vicinity. Yes, it's confusing me, but we just got in our cars and drove down to the closest United Methodist Church to where it hit. And there were people who had already gathered. And we didn't have much, but whatever we had, we walked through the streets, asked how folks were, and gave them whatever we had. So some of us had a loaf of bread. Here's a loaf of bread. How are you? Wandered that community. And there's this connection I feel with those folks who immediately, the day they could get up, get in their car, and drive to this place, got up and went. Here at Coronado, I feel probably the biggest connection for me is the guys who meet together on Wednesdays once a month for Bible and Brew. It's because there at the New Smyrna Beach Brewery, I get to be just Peter. And they engage me as me. I said, don't invite me if you want me to come as pastor, but if you want me to come as Peter, then invite Peter. And I made it very clear before we established that connection. Call me if you want Peter to come, because Peter'd love to come. But that group didn't need me to come and play pastor, and I didn't need to play pastor. I needed connection. And so I get to go there, and we get to tell jokes and have this lovely time. And every once in a while, it gets a little theological or philosophical or something like that, which is lovely, but sometimes it's just really bad humor. Kind of like in North Carolina, they'd have on at the closest place where they sit and drink coffee. The old guys would get together and in rocking chairs and drink coffee. You remember that place? And tell those stories, the same stories, at least once a month. It's kind of like that for us. There have been times when I have felt like it was easier to establish community at a non-church event than at a church event. And that makes me sad. But part of that is because we think we've got to be something that we're not, that we have to pretend to be acceptable. Friends, we are all broken people. The reason we have a church together is because we all need a second chance. And then another second chance, and then another second chance. People sit in this room and believe that they are the only person in here that ever did this. And if I told that story, oh my gosh, people would never love me. I know that there are folks who have come to clergy for marital counseling, aspiring to have a marriage just like the clergy's marriage, only to find out 10 years later that there was a divorce for that clergy family, and it's about perception. Find a place that you connect to people where you get to be you. I think that's what James is telling us. If you're happy, be happy. If you're in need, be in need. Be real. Be authentic. Let true life happen. Maybe for you, that happens more just walking down the beach and running into a stranger and having a brief but powerful connection in a conversation. Yesterday, I went to Home Depot, as I do on many Saturdays, and I picked up $5 worth of stuff to go home and work on the project that was on my to-do list. And the gentleman that was tending to the cash register, as we were walking over, said, "Don't you hate it when folks, when you say hi to folks and they don't say anything back to you?" And I'm like going through the conversation real quick in my mind. Are you talking about me? Luckily, he was not. Although sometimes I'm so distracted, I have to worry about whether I'm engaging folks right. And we had a brief encounter. He said, you know, there are folks who just don't engage. And he was wanting to engage. His name was Dan. I made sure I knew his name before I left the store. I made sure that, intentionally, we had closed the sale. I was walking out the door. I turned around and said, "Tell me your name." And we introduced ourselves and we greeted each other and moved together from about 30 feet away to shake hands. And I promise you he had a reason to think differently about his day than what started our engagement. And I was like, yeah, I really ought to do more of this. It's simple. But there are times when in church we just treat each other with a certain shallowness. When I ask you this morning to share your favorite trait of your father, you engaged each other differently during our time of greeting. When I was doing youth ministry, I learned really quickly how to create community. I go in, early in my career, it was summer youth work, which means you have 6 to 8 weeks to make something real happen in the lives of these teenagers before you're shipped back off to school. And so you get in, you learn everybody's name in the first week. You do all kinds of exercises in the first couple weeks so that there's a developed sense of trust. And before the summer is over, you've created a sense of community that hopefully is never forgotten. And I did youth ministry for probably 8 or so years before one Sunday evening, I asked one of the teenagers, and I think she was in 9th or 10th grade at the time, to do the program that Sunday night for youth. And she picked this program that was just answer these 4 questions. They all started off with, if I were to die tonight. And so we went around the circle, and each kid, 14 years old, 15 years old, maybe as old as 17-year-old said, if I were to die tonight, my favorite teacher would have been, my biggest regret would have been. Now, there's a line. You want to engage somebody differently today? Tell that story. If I were to die tonight, what would be the biggest one of the biggest regrets of my life? And if folks will engage, the authentic depth that you will get in that moment will be huge, and life will change between the two of you. If the church can go that place, can work on mutual respect and not worry about trying to be aligned and agreeing on every subject to the nth degree, that we can get past things like power struggles that happen in organizations, if we can move past the lack of trust. Paul and other writers in the New Testament times talked a lot about how bad it was for there to be gossip in the organization, gossip in the church, because it means you end up not trusting. Even the person you were talking to, if they were gossiping or you were gossiping, you now believe in that relationship, gossip is a real possibility, and trust and intimacy and vulnerability disappear. So when we talk about the importance of authentic relationship and building community, we have to remember what are the pitfalls. When we lack trust in each other, you don't do authentic community. The church is meant to be a group in action. We really should say we are churching. It should be a verb, not a noun. It is the word church from Greek means sent out. It's an action word. It means you've established that God loves you. Now it's your turn to go out and show it. Sent out. So I keep trying to lean into less meetings, more missions. And maybe that's the way we do it. How can we do the things that aren't kingdom building a little bit less and the other things that are a little bit more? Just 1% this way each year. 1% and another 1% and another 1% until the church becomes a place of healing and forgiveness, of outreach and community, relationships and second chances. The church has changed over the years. For some, we have established that we're just going to do it the way we've always done it. And so we're off by a couple of degrees. And after 100 years of being off by a couple degrees, we're miles from the intention. Is the church that we love and work to uphold doing the work that was worth the sacrifice, worth the suffering death of Jesus on the cross? Was it the true calling that we have? Or are we just doing the same thing that we watched the older folks do before we got here? If you were to die tonight, what would be your favorite memory of community and authentic connection? That'll be on the test next week. What will be your favorite memory of deep connection with another? Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, allow us to experience your grace in this community. Allow us to experience community by virtue of your grace in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.